Let's get this show on the road, shall we? Lou Del Bianco is my guest today. And Harry's going to be in. He's starting some store. Everything's selling for a dollar. And we'll also be featuring Milt Kamen, Bill Cosby, and we've got on the turntable right now Alan Sherman. Always a good choice to start, as far as I'm concerned. This is from one of his lesser-known albums, Alan in Wonderland. Well, it's a takeoff on Green Eyes, I think it was the original melody. And he's talking about green stamps. In case you're kind of young, I don't think they have green stamps anymore. In the old days, if you went to the supermarket, you bought a certain amount of merchandise. They'd give you green stamps. You paste them in a book, and then they gave you a catalog. And if you had like 10 books, you could buy a record player or something, you know, whatever it is. A TV, if you had 400 books. So this is a takeoff on that.
You thrill me with your green stamps. I love your little green stamps. I keep collecting green stamps. I love the way they look. Oh, how I love to pick them. I pick them up and lick them. I lick them, then I stick them in my brown green stamp book. All day and night I'm dreaming. I'm dreaming of redeeming my green stamps for a toaster. So gleaming and deluxe. Oh, how it will thrill me and please me and fulfill me to know my toaster only cost me $1,400. I drive up to the market. I stop my car and park it. I buy a lot of strange things of which I've never heard. I buy, though it's not urgent, 2 truckloads of detergent, 300 pounds of bird seed, though I don't have a bird. Some extract of vanilla, enough to feed Godzilla. I'll trade all my green stamps for something I can drive. A car is what I hope for, what I bought all that soap for. They promised me the first Studebaker made in 1965.
Ready Spaghetti here. Lou Del Bianco is my guest.
Great to be here on Knock on Wood.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, I always like to have Lou as a guest on because you always got some nice stories and songs for us. Lou, what song are you going to do for us? Harry's here, by the way, because you asked him to join us.
I always love it when Harry participates.
And I love singing with Lou.
All right, Harry.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
This is a song. Before I started writing stories and songs from my childhood, I sang other people's songs, and I still do. And this is a tune that I used to sing a lot in an after-school program that I used to run with kids. And it's a call-and-response song. It's a lot of fun. And it always brings up that issue with kids that sometimes make them go, ew. And you'll know what I'm talking about when you hear the song.
Okay.
It's about sipping cider through a straw. Harry, you ready?
I'm psyched.
Now, Harry, just remember, you just repeat everything I sing and
piece of cake.
It'll be wonderful.
I repeat everything you sing, and it'll be wonderful.
The prettiest girl I ever saw
Was sipping cider
Dirt through a straw The prettiest girl I ever saw Was sipping cider through a straw I asked that girl How do you draw That apple cider Dirt through a straw I asked that girl How do you draw That apple cider through a straw. She smiled at me.
She smiled at me.
And said that I.
And said that I.
Might come up close.
Might come up close.
And give it a try.
And give it a try.
She smiled at me and said that I. Might come up close and give a try. And cheek to cheek.
And cheek to cheek.
And jaw to jaw.
And jaw to jaw.
We sip that sigh.
We sip that sigh.
Dare through a straw.
Dare through a straw.
And cheek to cheek. And jaw to jaw. We sip that cider through a straw. And all at once.
And all at once.
That straw did slip.
That straw did flip.
I sipped some sigh.
I sipped some sigh.
Dirt from her lip.
Dirt from her lip.
And all at once my straw did slip. I sipped some cider from her lip. And now I've got.
And now I've got.
A mother-in-law.
A mother-in-law.
From sipping sigh.
From sipping sigh.
Dare through a straw.
Dare through a straw.
And now I've got a mother-in-law. From sipping cider through a straw. Yeah!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You were cooking there, Harry.
Thanks very much. So are you.
And I had to watch all the dials and everything. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't join in.
Well, that's what you're here for, right?
That's my job, to make sure everything runs smoothly.
And Harry is in the spotlight.
Is that an old traditional song?
That's like a camp song.
Oh, camp song. Yeah, I know.
Response camp song.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
fun.
Yeah, it's a story, and that's right up my alley.
Because you are a story maker.
I'm a story maker.
Right, you make stories.
Maker of stories.
You make the stories. Okay. They should have a store where you can buy the supplies for them, you know, just
yes.
Like a lumber yard. I'd like a period and three commas, and I'm looking for a parenthesis and a nice analogy. You got a nice analogy for me? Okay. Lou Del Bianco joining us here on Knock on Wood. Perennial guest, one that we always enjoy having back, and one that I hope you will come back again. Thanks so much, Lou.
Thank you.
And now a word from our sponsor. Hey kids, did you have to do some kind of chore today, like clean the gerbil cage, cut the grass, or clip the dog's toenails?
Yeah.
Did someone who actually thinks he or she has authority over you force you to indulge in drudgery once again?
Uh-huh.
Have you had it up to here with pestering parents who've forgotten entirely what childhood is all about?
You got it.
When you just can't stand it anymore, why not do what I do? Take Wine-A-Day vitamins. Here's how they work. Take an easy-to-swallow Wine-A-Day pill, drink some water, and then say, The beauty of Wine-A-Day is that you don't really need the pill. Just go to the kitchen and get a spoonful of your favorite food. Go ahead, we'll wait. Back already? Okay, here we go. There, now don't you feel better? Oh, by the way, kids, what did the mama pill say to the baby pill when the guests arrived?
We give up.
Aren't you gonna bite them in?
My wife, poor lady, I'm just sorry what the children have done to her, man. No, you see, you don't understand. With kids, those of you who have no kids, see, my wife and I we decided to have children because we liked what they look like. You know, you see them in magazines, they look cute, you know. On TV, you see, you know, and you say, aww. Look at that, one of those, man, you know. And you don't realize that this is going to be with you for half your life. One of the nastiest and most frightening things in the world is a two-year-old with a cold. Because, you know, they can't blow their nose. And it ate the whole face. It's like a glazed donut. And you can hear them all over the house because they can't breathe. You know, they... And you hear this coming after you, man. And you look, and there's this face, man. The glazed donut monster. And you say, Wipe your nose, nigga. I want a kiss.
I am not your parent. I don't know who you are, child, but I don't belong to you. Kiss the dog. And the dog will head up too, man. Dog, no, I don't know the kid either. We'll send him over here.
Bill Cosby. Okay, Lou Del Bianco has left. Harry's still here. You know, Harry, I was very polite when Lou was here.
Mm-hmm. I know you always are when guests are around. You're always very polite, but it's a different story when it's just you and me, isn't it?
Well, look, let me ask you this. What's going on in here? What's all this merchandise here? Lou is also polite. He sees a huge thing here going on, and he hasn't said anything.
Well, I'm ready to open up the dollar store.
What do you mean?
Everything in here is going for a buck.
Everything?
Everything.
Come on, not everything.
Yes, everything.
This piece of paper, is that going for a dollar here? Huh? Huh?
Yes.
But it's only worth a penny.
Well, that's irrelevant, isn't it? Oh, shh. My first customer. May I help you, please?
Yes, I would like a toothpick.
Okay, we have one right here.
How much is it?
A buck.
That's outrageous.
Look, buddy, if you don't want to spend a dollar, don't come into a dollar store. Capiche?
Everything in here is a dollar?
Everything.
How about this box of toothpicks?
A buck.
So one toothpick is a buck, and this box of toothpicks is a buck.
Hello? Am I talking to the wall here? Are you getting anything I'm saying? Yes, it's a dollar. Now, do you want something, or are you just wasting my time?
I'll take, I'll take the box of toothpicks.
That'll be $1, sir.
There you go.
Thank you. Jeez, some people can be so difficult sometimes. You know what I mean, Steve?
Well, it's just hard to understand that everything is a dollar.
What's so difficult about it? It's the simplest thing in the world. It's a lot simpler than having all kinds of different prizes, isn't it? Huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Hello, may I help you? Oh, yes, I'm just browsing. Well, browse away. It all costs a dollar. Yes, I see that. How about this CD player? $1.
Hey, that's my CD player. I was going to play CDs with it.
Let me handle this, Steve. Yes, that CD is $1. I'll take it. There's your dollar. And there's your CD player, lady. Thank you so much. You're very kind. Thank you. Bye-bye.
But that was my CD player.
Look, Steve, I'm trying to do my business here, huh?
Well, how do you expect to make any money if you're going to sell CD players for a dollar?
I'll make it up in volume. Ooh, someone else. Yes?
Yeah. I'm looking for a rocket ship. I saw you had one around the back.
Oh, we do?
Mm-hmm. And how much does it cost?
What's the name of this store? What does the sign say outside?
Dollar store.
So how much do you think the rocket ship is?
$1.
Ooh, you're a bright one.
Here.
And here are the keys. I hope you're going to take it home with you right now.
Yeah, okay, I will. Thank you very much.
Harry, that rocket ship must be worth over $100 million.
So, what's your point?
You just sold it for a dollar.
Well, it would be unethical for me to sell it for any less. After all, this is a dollar store.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there he goes.
If you do go out to Los Angeles, by all means, you should go to Disneyland. That's the wonderful place that Khrushchev wanted to go. Remember? They wouldn't let him. He cried and he yelled. They wouldn't let him go. So I went. I want to feel superior to somebody. And if you go out to Disneyland, you'll see all the different rides they have there for kids. And they also have something else. They have a theater there, Walt Disney's True Life Adventure Theater. They show all the movies that Walt Disney made. You know, like how the animals live in the desert, I live in the North Pole, live in different places, how moose get together, you know. I didn't have to see that either. I'm not a kid anymore, you know. But they showed something there. They showed a bee making honey. And the camera was close up on the bee, and a little ugly bee, you know, with a million eyes there. And the bee knew it was being watched, so it became like hot stuff and very arrogant, you know, like, you want to see honey? You know, the hard way, backwards. And, you know, you feel terrible. You say, look at that ugly little bee makes honey. Yeah, I'm a nice-looking person, you know, and all I can do is make a little wax with my ears. That's all, you know. And when you leave the theater, over the soundtrack comes a voice saying, yes, animals and insects are far superior to human beings. And they will take over the world because they don't have to think. Their instincts are perfect. And I'm not one to argue with science, but I just want to say that they're not right. I saw a flying grasshopper last year. And it was in Central Park. I was hiding behind a tree. Well, that's personal. That's nothing to do with it. I was there anyhow. And I saw a flying grasshopper, and the flying grasshopper took off. It flew great. I'm not criticizing that part. Flew good, the grasshopper. But when it came in for landing, it tripped. And I laughed. I said, hey. I'm not the nicest person in the world. But I said, you'll not take over this world. Nothing. You fly, but you can't land, you know. And it turns out that, for instance, did you know that there are hundreds of birds among all the millions, hundreds of birds that don't fly good? A lot of them don't fly good. They have agoraphobia or something. They have terrific fear of heights. And sometimes you hear them flying over the ocean, you know, help! I'm falling, you know. They're not good flyers. It can happen. I myself am not the best walker, you know. Sometimes I lose the whole technique. I forget. I say, oh, but it comes back. One, two, three, and I get it, you know. But when you're going down flying, boy, finished. You know. I can't fly. I don't say that. But I walk all right. And you ever hear the legend, all tigers walk softly in the jungle? It's not true. Not all tigers. A lot of tigers don't know what they're doing in the jungle. They're maladjusted. They walk around. They make a lot of noise. And they say, what is this? Like a jungle here. What is it? You know. And they get pimples all over. They're all sickly. They don't know what they are. And they stagger over to the other tiger and say, how do you walk soft? Right away, the other tiger say, well, you can't acquire that, you know. But, of course, the worst place of all, from our winter, we know how cold 10 above is. In the North Pole, it's 50 degrees below zero. You know how cold that is? That's ice cold. And every once in a while, one of the polar bears realizes this. And he goes up to the other polar bear and says, what are we doing here? It's freezing cold! Why here? Why not Miami Beach? So they say, well, go in the water. He says, I was in that water. It's colder yet. And they say, shh, look warm, look warm. There's the Walt Disney cameras. Look warm, look warm.
That was Milt Kamen, popular comedian back in the 60s, wrote for Jonathan Winters a lot. And this is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. If you're tuning in late, I'll tell you what's going on. Lou Del Bianco, our guest, has left, but Harry has opened up a dollar store. Everything in this store, right in here, too bad you can't see it, but it's pretty stocked, is going for a dollar. A toothpick is a dollar. But a box of toothpicks is also a dollar. He sold my CD player for a dollar. A rocket ship for a dollar. How do you expect to make any money, huh?
Well, what are you talking about? Look at this, Steve. I already have $3 I didn't have at the beginning of the show.
But you... never mind.
Another customer. Hello, may I help you?
Yes, I need 50 cents.
Well, I have 2 quarters right here.
Mm-hmm. How much will that cost?
A dollar!
Thank you. There you go. Okay. Bye-bye.
Wow, you just sold 50 cents for a dollar. I'm impressed.
Well, I couldn't sell it for any less, Steve. You know, on account of the name of the store.
Yeah, I understand.
Hello?
Yes, I need $5.
Hey, wait a second. Weren't you just in here?
No. That must have been my twin brother.
Oh, okay. In that case, I'll sell you $5.
How much does it cost?
$1!
Thank you. Okay, here's my dollar here.
Mm-hmm. And here's your $5.
Okay. So long, sucker!
Hey, he just called you a sucker.
I know. What can I do, Steve? It's a dollar store. But in a way, I came out ahead. Hey, look, Steve. I have a dollar.
It's quite a store you have here.
It's a dollar store!
All right, Harry. I've had just about enough.
What?
What's the gimmick?
What do you mean?
I mean, you have something up your sleeve. What? Everything you're selling is stolen. Is that it?
Oh, I resent that remark.
All right, it's all made out of cardboard. So really, even the rocket ship was worth less than $1.
No.
It's all my stuff you're selling.
Uh-uh.
These dollar bills are actually a rare 1942 print, and the dollars appear that's all they are, but actually they're worth millions.
Huh?
What's your game?
Game? There's no game. It's a dollar store.
I don't know, man. I know there's some gimmick.
Hello. I'd like a gold-encrusted crown with $1 million worth of diamonds on it. Do you have that in stock?
Yeah, it's right here below the counter. That'll be $1, please.
Oh, thank you. How does it look?
Oh, it looks beautiful on your head.
Thank you very much.
See?
What see?
You just sold $1 million crown for $1. What's the purpose of that? You gain nothing from it and lose quite a bit.
So?
So what? What?
So what if I do lose? I'm making people happy.
That's it. That's the reason for all this. To make people happy.
Uh-huh.
So why don't you make it a dime store?
Hey, I'm kind, but I'm not that kind. Look, Stevie, it's $4 I made. Why don't I treat you to a milkshake?
Thanks. I still think there must be a gimmick.
Imagine all the people living in a dream. You might...
From Bob Blue. Okay, well, huh? The dollar store isn't open anymore.
It's open, Steve, but there haven't been any customers, so, you know, what can I do?
All right. Can we do a strange fact segment then?
Sure, we can do strange. Strange and amazing facts!
Always like strange facts. Okay. All right, let's see. A truffle is something like a mushroom and has zero nutritional value. But gourmets believe it adds so much to the taste of other food that they're willing to pay up to $200 a pound for them. They're also very hard to find. They grow underground and are detected by a peculiar smell. But humans aren't sensitive enough to smell them, so instead they've trained pigs to locate them.
A typical ancient Roman dinner for the rich would consist of dishes like boiled tree fungus and peppery fish fat and glazed brains with milk and eggs. They might also serve sow's udders stuffed with salted sea urchins or jellyfish and eggs. These were just appetizers. The main course might consist of boiled ostrich, roast parrot, or boiled flamingo. Bon appetit! No wonder they went on to throw up after eating.
I suppose, yes. Okay, let's see. Wilfred Hardy has 96% of his body tattooed. Besides his outer skin, he also has been tattooed on the inside of his cheek, his tongue, gums, and eyebrows. Whoa!
There was a motionless festival in Indonesia, Sunardi. A teacher stood without moving for 15 hours in 1986.
Thanks. All right. Man shares the earth. Get a load of this, man. Man shares the earth with 3, followed by 33 zeros, other living beings. The number of nematode sea worms is estimated at 4, followed by 25 zeros. The house mouse is found on every continent.
Hmm.
And we think we're so important. We're filled with a sense of self-importance. Ooh, look how important we are. We're not even a blip on the screen, gang. All right, that ends our show. Ends our strange fact segment and our show.
You know, just because we're not a blip on the screen, Steve, doesn't mean that we shouldn't enjoy life and help other people.
Right. Hence your dollar store.
Right. Everything's for a dollar.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point. There's no excuse not to be nice, kind, and compassionate. Oh.
Knock on Wood is produced at the Knock on Wood Studios in Woodstock, New York. The show is written and produced by me, Steve Charney. SteveCharney.com has lots of videos of Harry and myself, as well as jokes, an email address, a sales page, info about our live stage shows, and lots more. And if you visit WGXC.org, click on Archives, and type in Knock on Wood, you can listen to previous Knock on Wood programs, and there are a lot of them.